V-San.
I like V-San.
Hyper converge. V-San. Killer technology.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 107. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back from Palo Alto.
Pete, I'm doing amazing. Yeah. To solve the caffeine problem, I've bought a French press, which also makes me just feel superior to everyone else who's getting their caffeine through inferior methods.
So now you're all bougie on me, huh?
Yes, I'm fancy.
Where is it? I want to see it, man. Lift up. I want to see you holding your espresso with your thumb and your pointer finger. I want to see the pinky in the air.
pinky in the air, yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, awesome, John. Great week in Palo Alto. We were able to do some technical videos that we're going to be releasing. We had some great conversations with some of the engineers. We also had a great conversation with James Lafort, one of the main SEs for vSAN. And so I want to share that this week. We spoke to him about, the evolution of vSAN, if you will, the state of the union. How has vSAN changed over the years, or even how has HCI changed throughout the years that he's been at VMware? So we want to start by sharing that conversation. And then we're going to finish off with a conversation that we had later with Mr. Lee Caswell, the VP of products over in the storage and availability business unit. So with that, let's kick it off with James Lafort real quick. Take a listen.
John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Pete. It's good to be in studio.
Yeah, this is really weird. Usually we're like on a Zoom call and I don't have to actually sit right next to you. He's like a foot taller than me.
Is this also you admitting that you have to wear pants today?
So. Yeah, I do have to wear, we have to be adults today and actually dress professionally, right?
Yep, so.
Well, John, this is great. We've been here all week in Palo Alto having a good time, talking to engineers, learning all the dirty secrets and all the futures that we can't share on this podcast.
Oh, man, there are so many juicy secrets today I learned. So,
yeah, man, the future is now.
Yeah, the future is now. So,
but yeah, today we're going to talk about the evolution of vSAN. So much has gone on with HCI. And we've got a guest, a returning guest that was with us a couple of, I'd say about, it was episode 50?
50. Episode 50. It's one of my favorite episodes of all time. You should go back. vSAN Off-Road Edition.
Yeah, the vSAN Off-Road. And so joining us on the podcast live in Palo Alto is Mr. James Lafort. James, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. So how you been?
Been a while.
So you are what is your official title these days?
My official title is Senior Manager for the SEs for the HCI vSAN team.
Okay. So that means that you're in sales, but you're actually like an Uber nerd.
It's actually technical sales.
Yeah.
I'm not a used car salesman. I sell technology.
Yeah, fair enough.
There we go.
The real stuff.
So we had a really good time nerding out last time. We talked about vSAN Off-Road, some of the things, different configurations. And I think the part I liked the most, and the thing we heard most from our listeners, was they really appreciated that field insight. I think that's a really key aspect. That's one of the favorite parts of that episode for me. So why don't you give us an update? Like, I know vSAN has been around how many generations now?
What are we on, the ninth code release or something? James, you were here from the beginning.
I was here from the beginning. So just a quick history note, right? So I had my 5-year anniversary in November.
Okay.
And I came to VMware 5 years ago directly onto the vSAN team. So I've seen a lot. I've seen it all. Incidentally, I spent the first 6 months of my time here just justifying to our customers why VMware was entering this market, right? Customers are saying, well, I thought VMware was a hypervisor company. And so much has changed since that day, right? The market has spoken, HCI is now mainstream, and we're just evolving ever since. Like, I walk up and down campus here, and the level of innovation is huge.
Yeah, no, it's gone from, VMware, they sell vSphere and a couple other things, to actually walking into the studio today, we had to walk through VeloCloud, and I'm jealous, and I want one of those little boxes. I'm going to steal one of those, SD-WAN boxes before I leave here. So.
I was more interested in the donuts, but that's okay.
Exactly. So what do you think are some of the key changes from when you started to now as it pertains to, you know, VMware or vSAN specifically?
So outside of the market adoption, which the market has spoken, we've all heard that, right? The conversations that I have these days with my team and my customers are more elevating the conversation, right? So no longer saying that vSAN is just a data store, and if your application or your workload runs on vSphere, it will run on vSAN. So it's less of a product conversation, more into an applications cloud conversation where vSAN becomes the foundation for everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about now, you know, we want to develop fast, we want to do containers. vSAN is part of that solution, but it's, you know, you're talking a full stack solution or solving a problem rather than just, hey, here's some storage. Maybe it's cheaper, maybe it's easier, maybe it's better, you know.
The conversation is definitely moving up the stack with respect to customers saying, I was an early adopter, or I'm using HCI today, and I want to use these applications. So it's no longer a HCI versus storage conversation. It's a day two operations conversation. It's an efficiency conversation. It's a cloud conversation. And guess what? vSAN powers all of that.
Yeah. So one thing I liked you said there was operations. How is operations different?
So instead of having customers have the storage admin or traditional storage team that becomes very focused and trained on storage-centric tools and processes, they now have a more ubiquitous approach where they can say, if I know vCenter and I know vRealize operations and vRealize automation, I can now have a more automated data center.
But we still need people to know what they're automating.
So. Precisely. So that's where the conversation comes in, where this is not just about the technology. The technology and vSAN becomes more of an enabler. So the conversations that I'm now having are less around IOPS, bits, bytes, and hardware, and actually moving the conversation into an operational effectiveness conversation. How can we as SEs help you redefine your business processes, retrain your teams such that now that you have that enabling technology, we can now have a different process. We can help you refine and readdress some of the inefficiencies that you had before.
I guess the part I don't understand is like what changed between when you first started talking vSAN to now?
The overall integration and just the adoption in the market, right?
Okay, so it's been tested.
It's been tested. It's been proven. As you mentioned, I think we're on release number 9 now. I count this in like the number of gray hairs that I've acquired.
Well, and I remember the earlier days, you know, James was actually my SE when I was a customer, and you know, he's coming in my office trying to convince me like, hey, you know, this is the next big thing.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. This was your customer?
Yes, a very difficult customer, if I recall.
Oh, you poor guy.
Leave it to John to always be outspoken. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, the lawyers.
But to that point, right, we've moved away from a storage-centric conversation into how can this as a technology enable you? So the conversation has moved more from a product perspective into the three Ps, right? The people and the processes. Incidentally, I was with a customer last week in my hometown of Dallas, and actually, my adopted hometown of Dallas, and the customer saying, well, where are customers faltering, right? We hear all the customers, the market has spoken, they're adopting HCI, but where are they failing? And the answer is quite simple. They're failing if you adopt the product, but you're not refining the people and processes behind it, right? So you may have HCI or vSAN as an enabling technology, but if you're still siloing your teams to think in a storage-centric, compute-centric model, nothing really changes.
If you've, you know, your head of infrastructure over here is a little traditional wearing cowboy boots and says, you know, wait, DRS, you know, patching, that's all needs to be done manually and by CLI and none of the, you know, that, you know, I can't create change control tickets fast enough. If you're not cleaning that up, then
precisely,
what was the point of this, you know, migration?
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
And for those teams that have not collapsed or converged on the hyper-converged teams perspective, you get, and just a little example, right? I had a compute team that went HCI, and they decided they're going to apply a patch, and they took down 4 servers, maintenance mode, and everything else, not realizing that they brought down the data store because it's hyper-converged.
Yeah, and it's...
Clearly, that's not 6.7.
Yeah, no, we've got a lot of safeties. Yeah, you want to go into maintenance mode and recklessly take things? No, that's not happening. Yeah.
But you're starting to see industry-wide in a lot of our customers that if they've not made that technology decision yet, they're actually preparing for it by having certain teams, right? We've already heard of certain customers now have the cloud team,
yeah,
or the next generation architecture team. So they're preparing for the next thing, and we're there to kind of slide in and preach the benefits of HCI, the operational efficiencies, to go to those teams.
And that team's building that new operational model while the other team's keeping the lights on, you know. Correct. Sometimes eventually that has to converge and flatten, but sometimes that's how they bite off on that.
Absolutely.
No, that story you tell me about, you know, the people still trying to follow old processes, it reminds me, just going back to, you know, people who were doing their first virtualization in central storage. I had a case where I was in Austin at a conference with a friend, and there was an outage, there was a problem. And he finds out that his boss, who's not really in technology, is about to just hard reboot the storage arrays and unplug the power and turn them back on. You know, thinking, well, I'll just take desktop processes and apply that to storage. But we've got to, you know, in the same way, not just blindly follow the processes we had before when we go into these converged operations groups.
Rebooting a host is not a troubleshooting step.
No, absolutely not. And it's an education where we're trying to be more consultative as my team of SEs has those conversations with the day two, the folks that are actually going to run and operate the vCenter or the HCI stack, right? So your run books and your manuals may have been good for the mainframe from 25 years ago,
yeah,
but things have changed, right? All of the goodness that we have with HCI with respect to SPBM and storage policies for automation, and it just creates a new level of efficiency with SLAs and how you run your business, as opposed to this is vSAN and it's a hardware box and it's about IOPS.
Well, what's exciting is seeing some of these teams, seeing the storage guys saying, I'm going to learn a little REST. I'm going to learn to automate some things.
Right.
Seeing that VMware admin actually learn some networking, you know, it's scary at first for some people, but those who do, they seem to be getting a lot of enjoyment out of their careers. They're relearning that kind of that passion for learning in some cases.
Correct. And we're trying to move the skill sets up the stack to make all of these customers more relevant to what they do, right? Because they've been mired in a siloed approach for so long that if they don't transform to adapt to this new technology, because it's coming, it's already here, yeah, that their resume gets dated and their skill sets get dated, right? So in my opinion, it doesn't make sense to have a storage admin paid a lot of money. I'm not going to say millions. I'm going to say a lot of money that's managing LUNs every day.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
If you're joining a customer profile as a storage admin, you should be looking at the five-year storage landscape, what we're doing for DR, what we're doing from an architectural perspective, and let something as easy as storage policies and those SLAs.
Helping understand the I/O path of these new NoSQL workloads and how you're going to do
precisely
planning. That's where you can provide value, not right.
And let the infrastructure kind of go onto the set it and forget it mode.
Yeah, James, it seems like so vSAN has evolved, and then it seems like what we're saying is the customers are now changing the way they think and how they manage their infrastructure by hyper-converged personnel, if you will. You have a unique advantage of seeing, you know, working with customers on a daily basis, but then also being here in Palo Alto, working with the engineers, working with the product management teams. How have you seen the evolution of vSAN and the proof of testing of time? How have you seen that affect actually internally here at VMware?
So I think the evolution in the product has permeated into the evolution both of our engineering teams here at Sabu on campus, and also to my field teams as well.
Okay.
Right. So we've had to adapt our go-to-market. We've had to adapt our approach because it's 5 years in. It's no longer just vSAN anymore. It's much bigger than that.
It's no longer the crazy early adopting customers like John over here. It's, you know, It's every industry.
Right. It's no longer justifying why we're in this business.
Yeah.
It is helping our customers adopt. And we have very smart customers, right? And this is where I as a leader of the SEs in the field, are helping elevate their skill sets as well, right? Because much work has gone in from our leadership team to be very transparent with documentation, with reference architectures, the work that we have on storagehub.vmware.com. All of this is publicly accessible, right? So it's no longer a method where my SEs go talk to customers and just do the vSAN 101 pitch. They immediately walk in and we have very educated customers because they're consuming all of this great information that we're already pre-providing to them.
Well, that's one thing you mentioned, that culture shift of transparency. It's been really interesting to notice that, you know, from the customer side previous before and now seeing how, you know, if there's a big bug or something, there's a public facing KB that you can Google. As a former storage admin, that stuff was hidden.
Agreed.
You had to have logins. You had to sign an NDA. Someone would quietly whisper what was really going on. It was sometimes a very opaque industry.
Absolutely.
And how bugs were handled and things. And seeing that, you know, if we identify an issue and there's a patch, you're going to get a health check in your face saying you're exposed. You need to do this.
And here's your plan to address it. And not only is it the plan up to you, we partner as SEs and with Sabu and the team to ensure that things get addressed quickly and timelessly to preserve everything that's at stake.
No, so, and it's also interesting seeing from a transparency stuff like on VMC, how the roadmap's out there and features that are, you know, getting deployed in VMC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like support for SCSI 3 locking for Microsoft SQL clustering. That's actually a feature that's only in VMC now. So we've kind of got a vision into the future there.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to see how VMC is sort of driving that technology. And they're able to actually implement this stuff immediately into VMC. So stuff that's not even in vSAN on premises is not even is already in VMC, which is exciting.
And that's the fun part of my job, right? Telling the, without getting into legal trouble with respect to roadmap.
Tell us everything.
But telling the story about where we're going, right? Yeah. The evolutionary story. And to your point, Pete, I'm uniquely qualified because I've seen 5 years of history. And if the next 5 years emulate what I've seen in the past five, well, John, you can see it yourself. It's an exciting time.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's not slowing down.
No.
I like it. Hey, I think that's a good start for this welcome back conversation.
Welcome back.
I think we need to have this. I'd say what every 20 episodes we got to bring James.
Yeah,
on.
We got to
get a field report. You know.
Sounds like a plan. I love it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So that was James. Now that was a good conversation. What was interesting about that, John? They actually filmed that in the studio at VMware campus. So that interview, we also have the video version as well. So if you want to see our ugly mugs talking to James Lafort, there's a link on the bottom of the show notes page. The first thing that I saw about the video, I showed it to one of our coworkers, Teodora, and the first thing that she said was, "Oh, you and John are sitting in synchronization." Our legs were crossed exactly the same. So,
I just want to show off my fancy boots, but I just like the way that white background. I felt like we were floating in the clouds. Yes, yeah. This is the cloud everyone's talking about.
Yeah, that was interesting video, to say the least. But more importantly, the conversation was great. Always good to have James Lafort on. He's got a strong pulse for what customers are talking about in the field and what people need to know. So it was great chatting with him. Moving on to conversation number two, we had a great conversation with the VP of Products in Storage and Availability Business Unit, Mr. Lee Caswell. And Lee shared his take on how the HCI market has been evolving and where we are going into the future. Pretty good stuff. Take a listen. All right. Joining us now is the VP of Marketing in the Storage and Availability Business Unit, Mr. Lee Caswell. Lee, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. It's always great to be with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Glad to have you back. So, John, it's been a little while since we've had Lee on. And man, so much has happened. You know, if we're talking about vSAN specifically, even the evolution of HCI, lots have happened. But Lee, as I mentioned earlier on this podcast, John and I were talking about, we were actually talking to James Lafort, one of the SEs, and he shared a really interesting perspective of what he sees, some of the changes over the years with vSAN, both from, you know, the customer conversations that he's been having, but also even, you know, internally at VMware, so how people are starting to change their view of vSAN. And so as we talk about the state of HCI and vSAN, I'd love to get your take on this.
Yeah, so it's such an interesting time, right? As you look at any hyper growth market and you think about how that impacts, you know, the benefits for customers first, right? That's where we start, right? And so the operational speed that HCI is offering is why we're, you know, adding 150 customers per week. I mean, it's a stunning rate of adoption. People are like, well, wow, what is that about? And so that's about speed. You know, what we're finding is that applications are the fastest moving, the fastest changing part of any environment, even in banking. I'll give you an example. I was talking to a very large bank and they said, hey, the, you know, as they're developing apps for millennials and then getting millennial developers to go and work, they want to work on modern infrastructure and they want to deploy applications that are basically running on infrastructure across the hybrid cloud and extending into cloud native applications, for example. And so first, I mean, that rate of adoption isn't slowing and is just a massive driver. And second, you know, what we should talk about then is, well, what's the impact on the traditional storage market? Because that's a really interesting, you know,
oh, yeah.
That right now is where I see a lot of things. I'm not sure if James talked about that, but you must be seeing a little bit of that yourselves.
Yeah, John, we see that a lot, right? I mean, obviously the conversations are different from the administrator to, but yeah, I would say like when if we're talking about the evolution of vSAN, I think the conversations early on were, can this compare to storage? Can I actually use this to, you know, fast forward now to more of a, yeah, this does everything, and why would I use traditional storage?
So here's what I've noticed, and I think this is a subtle but important change in the customer perspective. In the early days, we had customers looking to justify why you would hyperconverge anything. Thinking about like, why would I introduce servers into the mix? And for a storage, you know, traditional storage person, I think we've all been there, right? This introduced like, there were budget issues. There was, you're actually introducing technical risk, right? Because I'm like sharing, you know, compute and storage, right? And how's that going to work? And what's performance going to look like, for example?
Yeah, rebooting a host has a different effect now, right?
Exactly. And even, you know, the biggest obstacle, I think, early on was probably organizational change. So HCI moved where organizational boundaries didn't exist. You know, VDI, for example. It wasn't, you know, this was being managed by desktop administrators who were like, oh, sorry, I don't want to know how to manage a fiber channel, you know, SAN, and I don't want to know about LUNs and QDIS. I just want to know that I can deploy all flash affordably and I can manage it. So that early stage meant that, you know, we watched people having to justify why I would use hyperconverged. Now it's different. What's happening now is I'm seeing customers having to justify where they will deploy disaggregated systems. And so disaggregated means I disaggregate for capacity, for example. So, you know, there's a great example for filers, for example, saying if I've got a lot of high capacity files, and particularly if they're cold, right? I'm going to be generating this for medical images, let's say. And I'm going to go and use this. Like, that's a great example of where, you know, filers or, you know, or the cloud, right? I mean, are great repositories for big capacity where there is no real justification for scaling the capacity with compute. So, all right, great. So, like, HCI doesn't have to land everywhere, right? But you think, well, all right, I'm justifying a disaggregated capacity model. Now, similarly, for those who have worked in, particularly in all flash systems, there are some very good examples where I want to disaggregate for performance. And so I may want to have a dedicated non-shared system. In fact, a lot of those applications don't run in virtual environments. If you're a real performance guru, you know, you don't like sharing anything. I don't want to share on the compute side. I don't want to share on the storage side.
Right.
And so what you find is now I'm justifying that I'll have a disaggregated system. These tend to be like, you know, very high performance.
Luster clusters, you know, that oil glass geo stuff.
Precisely, you know, high frequency trading application, right? I mean, listen, I don't want anything getting in the way. Actually sharing is bad in those cases, right? And so I'm going to go and have a dedicated both compute and I'm going to have it separated from the performance storage that I've got. So great. But now what you're finding is that everything else falls to hyperconverged. Wherever speed and operational models, wherever customers want to think about, I want to manage the applications as opposed to managing the infrastructure. And so what I see going forward is a deployment model that looks a little bit like when x86 came into the Unix market. At that point, what you did is you said, you know, Unix was the de facto default for all, you know, high applications, but applications didn't move very fast.
Yeah.
Now what you found was, listen, those got relegated to areas where I could really justify, where I could afford those systems, both to buy them and to manage them. And then x86 came in for the volume where you really wanted to go and leverage operational efficiencies. And you just found that there were a lot more people who could manage an x86 server based on Ethernet, right? Than who could go and manage, I won't pick on a Unix, but let's pick one like
Solaris.
AIX or, you know, Solaris would be the easy. Yeah, exactly. So that's the evolution I see where HCI takes the mainstream and you start justifying why would I do things that are not HCI for very good reasons, right? There's great storage products and we have partners that we work with on storage systems as well. But you're going to see that HCI becomes the largest storage franchise ever.
That makes a lot of sense. I was just actually meeting with an AIX, a customer yesterday who had some AIX in their data center. And, you know, me and one of the, you know, old AIX graybeards were sitting there discussing like, you know, AIX is maybe the greatest operating system of all time. Yet even the AIX admin is not wanting to deploy any more AIX, you know, and recognizing that its place is in the corner, in the dusty corner of the data center, while HCI and everything else is taking over those general purpose workloads. And going back to the statement you made about the developers earlier at the bank, the reason why Windows blew up was because developers, you could get reasonably cost developers to rapidly write it, and as well as system admins to cost effectively maintain that Wintel ecosystem going forward. And the high cost areas were pushed to the extreme. So you're right. This really is a repeat of that shift from, you know, Unix and proprietary risk to, you know, the Wintel era.
Right.
But in the storage franchise space.
Well, what you found was, you know, in the x86 days, if you looked at economies of scale, right, you had roughly 100 million desktops, which were based on x86, right? And even the ISO bus, if you go back that far, right? You know, if you thought about the economies of scale of the desktop market brought into the server market, where the server market was all proprietary hardware in those AIX days, right? And so what you did is you took the scale economies of a market that operated at two times the, or two orders of magnitude. And so you brought a brand new economic powerhouse into that market. So the same thing is happening today. What we're doing now is we're taking server, standard high volume servers, where you have over 10 million servers, and all the new technologies coming into those at very cost-effective price points. And now we're taking that high-volume server hardware base and we're bringing it into the storage platform where, you know, there's only 1,000 SANs sold a month, or a week, sorry. It's a small market from a volume standpoint. And so, you know, there's 38,000 servers sold every day. You know, the largest server manufacturer makes a server every 18 seconds. It's, you know, if you think about like that volume brought in, if you love hardware, the new hardware is coming first to servers. And as a result, it's being deployed day zero on HCI. You actually have a really interesting model where the newest technology, and we saw this in Unix as well, right? The newest technologies came in to the high volume market first, right? Where did all NVMe first come into? HCI or storage?
HCI.
Where did Skylake Perle come into? Was it into storage or was it into HCI? Well, it's in HCI, right? So we're going to see this rapid adoption of new technologies happen where the high volume makes economic sense. And it means that what you really need at the end of the day is a reliable software stack that gives you investment protection for the biggest portfolio of applications you can support. And that's where customer adoption patterns are starting to adjust as well. In the early days of HCI, we basically had like an VDI or Robo, right? Your, you know, kind of remote office. You know, you basically had HCI like put in a, you know, outside the data center. You know, that's okay. That's nice, right? To have this outside, but, you know, not in the data center proper. Today, and this is where vSAN is really taking off and the selling motion and the customer adoption patterns are changing. Now what customers are looking is this is a strategic long-term platform. In fact, what I'm hearing from customers is the most important strategic decision they'll make over the next 5 years is selecting the software stack that provides them the greatest flexibility in terms of where that stack will run from edge to core to public cloud and what applications will run above it. And so in that case, we've got, you know, all the way from traditional virtualized applications into cloud native apps.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some people know that I was at VMware in, you know, 2002 when we were launching ASX. I'm still talking even then, right, about whether the hypervisor would be commoditized or not. Right? This is kind of the essence of VTax and things like that that people have talked about, right?
Oh, yeah.
And at the essence, right, though, what we found is there's never been as high a rate of change underneath the hypervisor in terms of new hardware technologies, new CPUs, as I mentioned, right? New flash technologies, right? Moving into storage class memory, for example, and low level, you know, low latency Optane. And then even low latency RDMA interconnect between nodes. So that pace of change has not slowed down, but is actually increasing. And above the stack, you're seeing the evolution of cloud native applications, for example, and running in containers, PKS. And so, you know, my take is that rather than have the hypervisor become a commodity, what we've seen is the innovation required for an enterprise resilient hypervisor is actually then still high value for customers at scale. And that gives you the fundamental leverage to go and move into the full stack, which is where customers are making strategic decisions.
Which is where it's where it belongs, right? I mean, we're not here to make infrastructure for the purpose of making infrastructure, right? I've always loved the fact that VMware has been focused on the application, right? Like it's an application-centric world because that workload is what is the most important. And the best way to get to that, well, that changes by the year, right?
Well, and having to basically refigure out how you're going to take advantage of these innovations in RDMA or FPGAs or whatever they for every single operating system and stack versus having kind of a hypervisor that's evolving and taking care of that for you. That's just, that's a much simpler world.
I noticed we were talking to some of the VMware Cloud on AWS guys, and I find it interesting. I drew a little bit of a parallel when you were talking about how all the cool technology goes to the server market first, for example, into hypervisor. It's interesting how a lot of the changes in vSAN are going into the cloud, VMware Cloud on AWS first, right? They're playing with different changes and newer versions of vSphere, and they're getting like they're slapping on changes quickly, whereas you know the on-premises has to wait until the next release of vSphere or vSAN. And I find it interesting that that cloud model is so rapidly changing, you know, and creating so much value that then comes later in on-premises.
Yeah. Oh, you know, so you think about cloud, and so you know the cloud basically removes some of the limitations we always took place on-prem. So on-prem, for example, right, you'd always have DRS, right, work across the full portfolio of servers, and those would become part of a cluster because you wouldn't leave something out of a cluster. You'd have a full cluster, right? In the cloud, you've got available resources, right, that you don't want to pay for unless you're, you know, requiring them. And so the idea, for example, of Elastic DRS, I mean, really interesting, right, where I can now think about having a boundary that I set upfront, where if I want to go and expand into available hardware, I can extend to that elastically on demand and then retract when I'm done with the, you know, with the requirement, right? So for things like VR as a service and other capabilities where I may be bursting and requiring, the cloud gives you that flexibility, and we're applying innovation only uniquely available from VMware available in the public cloud.
Yeah.
Another example of that would be providing a stretched cluster across AZs, for example, right? That's innovation, right? Where we're providing a level of availability, not that's solely available right through the VMC offering. And so you start to see that. I think there's also an interesting, you know, some company things that are important. Simple things like getting HTML5 interfaces, right? Yeah, you know, that took us a surprisingly long time. Mm-hmm. Customers on-prem were like, you know, all right, I'd like to have it. But it turned out that was a requirement for operating in the cloud. And so the ability to go and use cloud-level requirements to drive innovation that's then available back into on-prem customers, I think it's a way that our on-premises existing customers are benefiting from the cloud investment that we're making.
I like that. That makes sense. Yeah, it's a different model out there. I mean, there are different challenges, and cost being a big one of those, right? In the cloud, that definitely challenges companies to be more creative. And I think Elastic vSAN is a perfect example of that. I mean, when you're trying to scale, when you're trying to burst, and you want to have that large capacity, you know, the fact that you can attach EBS storage to that, you know, that makes sense for a cloud model when you're looking at the cost of compute and the cost of storage in the cloud versus on-premises. So I love the fact that VMware has that ability to pour technology into these different use cases.
I think one last thing on the cloud, right, is we're reducing a lot of the fear about the cloud. And, you know, there's a lot of, let's call it enthusiasm, right? So from cloud native developers, for sure, right? But there are also, you know, customers on premises who are like, gosh, I don't know about how the cloud or when I'm going to go in or how I would go and extend into the cloud. And the idea that we're offering a bridge, and I love this about VMware, right? That we're leaning into the cloud. You know, I think early days, customers are like, well, you're just opening up the floodgates. People are going to escape, right? Evacuate to the cloud. And certainly there are some customers who want to do that. And VMware's, you know, intent is to let them, you know, follow that path if that's what they want to do. And at the same time, you know, data people, right? Like data people know that not all data is going to move across the hybrid cloud. They know that there's going to be sovereignty reasons. And if you have data, which is stateful, and you have to go and pay for it every day, 24/7, you really start thinking carefully about the economics of whether you rent or buy, right? And so this is similar to a car, right? I mean, you could Uber every day everywhere, but, you know, I know how to drive. You know, cars aren't that expensive and I have free parking. So for me, like, you know, the economics of having my own car and driving that is still like, it's a no-brainer, right? When I know that I'm going to have that requirement over time. But at the same time, I'm an Uber and Lyft user all the time. I suspect you are, right? Where speed, flexibility matters, right? And I'm in a different location, right? I don't have a car there. So, you know, this will be a mixed model. We're very enthusiastic about that. And we're opening up all ways that customers can go and engage with the public cloud and have that common, consistent operational model without having to refactor all their apps.
Nice. So last question for you, Lee. You know, we talked about, you know, the evolution of vSAN, and I like where we're what we're doing now. I love the fact that we have, you know, different directions that we focus on with HCI, whether it's cloud, whether it's on-premises, things that we're doing for edge, core, cloud, you name it. What do you think is the next big area of focus for HCI in general? It doesn't have to be specific to vSAN, but just in general, just infrastructure maybe. What do you think is the next big focus?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're certainly adding more storage features every, you know, with every release, and we're on, a torrid pace of release that is also similar. And I hate to bring up another Unix thing, but, you know, when x86 came, we split hardware development, done primarily by Intel, and software development, done primarily by Microsoft. What we found is the beat rate of the independent innovation increased because they were split, as opposed to having proprietary systems where they were joined, right? So we're going to have that increased pace, and certainly there will be storage features that come. So we've got our open beta, for example, now on file services. Yep. If you look at snapshots, as well as cloud native storage. And these are all elements where customers want to have those capabilities as part of the bundle of offerings that they can run in the expanded portfolio. So the storage portfolio is going to continue to evolve. And I see customers, you know, really enjoying the idea that I could run more and more applications. SAP HANA support, for example, was a recent one. Where it's not that everyone will run SAP HANA, but for customers looking at mission critical support, they're thinking, hey, now the most powerful in-memory database is now certified during failure modes on vSAN. That's an impressive statement, you know, qualified by a very thorny, a partner with very rigid testing standards. That to me is a great statement. So that's number one. But what we're finding now is this full stack offering. And so what customers are looking at here is this change in the operational model on storage was that I could now set storage policies that would be capacity or performance based, and I could set them close to the application owner. The VM isn't quite the application owner, but it's pretty darn close, right? That's different than having a separate storage system, right, that would have to be carving out LUNs. You remember these days, right, John? And and so, you know, you think about my analogy here is this, you know, that used to look like a travel agent where you would go and say, hey, listen, I want to travel to, you know, Barbados on the 23rd of February. And they would come back and say, well, you know, I checked it out and here's what you have. And you say, well, my dates have changed. And, you know, it was just like back and forth where, you know, we book our own travel now and you do it fast, efficiently, and it's easy to change. That's what's happening on the storage side. But now we want to extend that model into security. If you think about what we're really looking at, Mobile World Congress, we had some great announcements about how we're really now looking at how can we extend that operational model where the app owner is the one who knows the most about security attributes. And so why wouldn't they assign security attributes close to the application that then travel, assuming that applications, VMs, and their storage, right, are mobile across a, you know, an increasingly connected world, particularly in 5G. Mm-hmm. That model of a closely policy-based set, right, where it's you're setting it from the application owner, to me offers up a speed that has just never been set before. And I think Pat said it well, right, is people are spending more on security and getting hacked more. It's a broken model. So this gives us a new way to think about extending that. And that becomes an integrated part as the HCI definition increasingly expands to include software-defined networking, management, hybrid cloud, right? And even long-term multi-cloud.
I love it. All right, Lee, thanks for taking time to chat with us early this morning, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
It's always great, guys.
Yeah, so that was Lee Caswell. Always great talking to Lee. I love that guy is a true nerd's nerd. I mean, he's been in IT for a long time. As he mentioned, he was at VMware. Then he was at several other companies. He's been back at VMware for the past couple of years, and he's really been driving vSAN for the past few years, I'd say. But yeah, always great talking to Lee. He's got a great understanding of customers, where they're going, and where they need to be headed. So great working with Lee. John, what'd you think about that interview?
That was just great. It's always good to see, you know, where not only where Lee views the industry going, but also where he's seen it been. He's got an understanding of, you know, the various cycles of this and how they repeat.
Absolutely. All right, so we're gonna wrap this one up, John. What do you got coming up? Anything in the future? You got any future? I know we've got a webcast this week that's live where you and I talk about the top 10 technical things to know about vSAN. That was fun. Anything else you got going on?
I'm actually doing a webcast with Veeam today. We're gonna talk about how we're making storage and backup simpler.
And also tomorrow I've got a 5G install happening. So the next time we do this, I'll be doing it on 5G from the future. So nice. Because clearly that's where I've gone, you know.
Bougie coffee and 5G. What am I going to do with you, John?
We're going to be, yeah, we're, you know, a couple gigawatts of energy. You know, we're zooming straight to the future of networking. So hopefully I'm currently trying to beg, borrow, and steal to get a VeloCloud, one of those little SD-WAN mixers, so I can flip back and forth and see how it compares against, you know, the old school cable coax connection.
I like it. The future is now with John Nicholson. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to James and Lee for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then...
Jibber jabber.